welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Chris Brown. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Got three scriptures and three considerations for you on this Australia Day. The first scripture is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it's from it's verse 18. Be thankful, verse 18, be thankful in all circumstances. Everyone say, be thankful. Come on, say with some gusto, be thankful. Look at the person. Give him a slap. I mean, give him a tickle. Yeah. Be thankful. Come on. They're right there. It's a commandment. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So, look, this is a theme that runs right through the whole Bible. There's many, many passages that talk about God's people being called to be grateful, to be thankful. And of course, it's fitting on Australia Day to consider how much we have to be thankful for. And I guess I'm preaching to the converted to remind you that we have such a beautiful country. In physical respect, we've got, you know, wonderful weather, amazing flora and fauna. We've got, you know, deserts, rugged bushland to explore, tropical islands, tropical rainforests, snowy mountains. We have the best, cleanest, most amazing beaches in the whole world. So, you know, that's worth being thankful for. In our terms of our society, we've built this amazingly cohesive multicultural society, which is a really successful melting pot of all kinds of ethnicities, and we see that represented just in this group of people. And it's the envy of the world. So everybody wants to come here. And even when racism rears its ugly head, like we've seen recently with anti-Semitic attacks of vandalism, Australians are shocked and angered and stand up against it and don't want to put up with it. And of course, we have this great, stable democracy. Don't take that for granted, because there's not a lot of them. We've got great free education, healthcare, sensible laws, good justice system, job opportunities, good wages. They all contribute to us having one of the highest standards of living in the world. And if you don't believe me, get on a plane and go anywhere, any other country. And in fact, even better, go and live in that other country. And if you got a chance to come home again, you'll be glad you did. In fact, if you want to save money, don't even get on a plane. Just turn on SBS World News any night and have a think. And that will stop the complaints in the whole house. Not just for yourself, for the kids. Kids, come and watch this. Now, stop your whinging, do your homework and eat your veggies. You know, it's just pretty good comparison. So we have a lot to be grateful for. And yet, some people can get surprisingly negative, you know, about their country, about life in general. There's a sad strain of negativity that runs through the media, on social media, in society, in some people's spirits. And I just want to say shame on those few businesses who refuse to refer to Australia Day. Like I read about a couple of pub chains who are trading on the patronage of Australia Day, but only calling it a long weekend. Celebrate the long weekend, they say. And no mention of why it's a long weekend. And I was glad to read from Senator Jacinta Nampanjimpa Price calling them out this week, saying it's hypocritical for a company to seek the benefit of increased business on the public holiday if they're so ashamed to not mention it. This kind of behaviour fractures and sows division within our communities. And another well-known Indigenous leader, Warren Mundine, went further. He called them dreadful human beings and bigots. And he said, we will wear our thongs and our silly shirts and sing the national anthem and have a great time. So they're two of many First Nations people who work towards reconciliation and a positive outlook on our country. And amen to that. And of course, those businesses are in the minority. Most Aussies celebrate Australia Day because Australia is worth celebrating. Yeah? But if you're a Christian, it goes further than that. Not to follow a negative narrative or be influenced by the whingers and the whiners and the critics, but to actually chart a course for others to follow of faith, of hope, and of love, which includes and develops a positive, supportive outlook and view of your own nation. And even beyond the many good reasons that we have to be thankful, for a Jesus follower, thankfulness goes deeper. Gratitude is an attitude that is not based on circumstances or how nice your country is. It should just flow out of a growing, maturing Christian character. And so notice in that verse, it said, be thankful when? In all circumstances. Not just as a result of your circumstances. Yeah? But sometimes in spite of your circumstances. So have a look at that again. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you if you're a follower of Jesus. So we are thankful for every experience that life throws at us. And of course, some are easy to be thankful for. They're the good times. You just love it. And then other experiences are challenging, problematic, very problematic sometimes. But they come your way to help you grow and mature, and therefore there's still something to be grateful for. And the guy that wrote those words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as you may know, Paul the Apostle, he knew all about this because he suffered for his faith, but he was always thankful, even in the midst of his suffering. It drove him closer to God, closer to discovering what he wrote about, the secret of being content in every situation. And that's a good secret that we can discover when we press into God, not relying on situations to give us contentment or happiness or joy. And when you read in the book of Acts, you know, there's a famous passage where Paul and his mate Silas are beaten up for preaching about Jesus, and they are thrown into jail. And it says they weren't given the nice, I don't think there were any nice rooms, you know, with TV and coffee or whatever. They were thrown, it says, in the deepest dungeon. And they were put in shackles, in chains. And that's dank, dark, dirty, and their lives are in the balance. They don't know if they're going to get killed or not. So you would be forgiven for feeling a little down, a little self-piteous, a little depressed. And yet what did they do? We read that at midnight, the other prisoners could hear Paul and Silas singing praises to God and praying. And the next minute, there's an earthquake, everyone's chains fall off, and the doors of the prison fly open. Talk about the power of praising God, of being thankful in all situations. There's miracle working power in that. And of course, some people are imprisoned spiritually, emotionally, by their negativity, their angst, their anger, their darkness, depression, discouragement, and prayers and songs of praise and gratitude to God can set those people free. There's real power in that. So be a person who always gives thanks, amen, for your country and in all circumstances. As that verse says, this is God's will for you if you belong to Jesus Christ. So that's one thing. Two to go. And these are the real long ones. Oh, well, I've got so much. Okay. The second thing I want you to consider today is our history, given it's Australia Day. And the verse I want you to notice is in Acts 17, verse 26. From one man, that's Jesus, he made all the nations, watch this, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he, God, marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. God has a purpose for the nations, including Australia. It says there, God has marked out boundaries. He knows what's going on and what has gone on. And so we recognize his hand on our country, and we can therefore celebrate Australian history. So we celebrate the rich, varied history of the tribes and nations of our Indigenous Aussies, as we've mentioned today already, and how touching and moving it is to see some of those kids in the community that our people go out to, being touched by the gospel. And yes, we also celebrate the arrival of the First Fleet, because, and the beginnings of what has become modern Australia, because on the 17th, the 26th of January, 1788, the gospel arrived on these shores and has been saving souls ever since. And so that is worth celebrating. And of course, sadly, Australian history is littered with tales of injustice, inequality, sometimes even atrocities, particularly against First Nations people. But that's not the whole picture. That is not the only part of history to focus on. Because the common assumption is that Australia is just, well, has always been a secular nation, that we started off with very little Christian influence. We're just a bunch of convicts getting drunk on rum and killing anyone we could find or have a fight with. And if that's the case, how did we magically arrive today with such an amazingly successful society? Because it's not magic. It's a result of many wonderful, godly people in the past building our nation, some of whom have had their statues vandalised, torn down by ignorant buffheads. Ignorant because they hear the word colonialism and they think it stands for all the evil in the world, just painting with a broad brush. But colonial Australia had plenty of good people doing good things. Men and women of God, ministering, caring, reaching out, loving, building, praying, and sometimes even seeing revivals. Revivals that many people aren't aware of. We've trained and sent missionaries all over the South Pacific and have blessed so many nations that came from Australia. And even here, closer to home, like in regional New South Wales, there were moves of God all throughout the 1800s, and many accounts survive today. For example, Reverend John Watsford was a preacher in and around Windsor, just to the west of Sydney. A long way west back then. Now there's nothing between Sydney and Windsor. Even as a kid, I remember leaving Sydney and then arriving at Windsor. And now it's just, wow, oh, here we are. It's just all traffic and suburbs. And so he was preaching around there. He wrote about what he called a blessed revival in 1841. He said, in those days, we did not so much arrange for special services or missions. We looked for God's blessing in connection with the ordinary services. Love that. At one of the meetings, the Holy Spirit came mightily upon us. We were compelled to continue the meetings night after night. Numbers flocked to them. We had some remarkable cases of conversion. Among these were some of the best customers of the publicans, and no wonder that they cried out against us. One of them, one of the pub owners, especially did all he could to annoy and persecute me in his little way. Whenever I went down the street past his house, he cried out after me, "Amen, hallelujah, bless the Lord." But he never injured me in the slightest degree. It was the best advertisement I could have. The people came to the meetings to see what was going on, and the power of God laid hold of them. Isn't that awesome? And then he says, in the Sabbath school for the kids, we had a most blessed work. He would have said blessed, excuse me. I was giving an address in the school one Sunday afternoon when the children were greatly touched. I closed the school and asked those who wished to decide for Jesus to remain. Very few left. About 70 young persons from 8 to 16 years old gathered in great distress around the superintendent of the school and myself while we prayed for them. Many of them were soon rejoicing in Jesus. Two cases were particularly interesting. A little girl, 7 or 8 years of age, was weeping bitterly and praying to God to save her. Her mother, who was a teacher, was kneeling by her side and praying for her. Presently, the dear child cried out, "Oh, mother, I do believe. Jesus does save me." The mother, doubting that her child understood what believing really was, asked, "But what is believing, dear?" "Oh, mother," replied the little one, "believing is just seeing Jesus with your eyes shut." had not the good spirit opened the eyes of her heart. That child is now growing old, but she is still a member of the church and has been ever since that memorable hour when Jesus saved her. Let me read another one. This guy, Watsford, came to Sydney for the gathering of all the Wesleyans of New South Wales. They were held at a church in Bourke Street, and the facade of that church is still there. It's owned by the Wesley Mission, which they built behind it, but you can see the front of it right there in Surry Hills. He wrote, I was appointed to preach on the Sunday evening. The praying men had been pleading with God for the outpouring of the Spirit, and they did not plead in vain. The church was crowded. The mighty power of God came upon the people. 50 persons professed to find Christ that night, and many others were in distress. I love that. Not just, oh, okay, Jesus, he'll make my life better. No, get in distress. Yeah. How's your soul without Jesus? Where are you going? What's going on in your life? It was announced that I would preach the following evening. To a congregation which packed the building, I preached from Quench Not the Spirit. What a time we had. The whole assembly was mightily moved. The power was overwhelming. Many fell to the floor in an agony. There was a loud cry for mercy. The police came rushing in to see what was the matter. But there was nothing for them to do. It was impossible to tell how many penitents came forward. There must have been over 200. The large schoolroom was completely filled with anxious inquirers. How many were saved, I cannot say, but the number must have been very large. We announced that a prayer meeting would be held the next morning at 7 o'clock. But long before that hour, there were scores of people at the door in great distress seeking salvation before 7 in the morning. That's a move of God. Back in the day. And it wasn't just in the cities or the major towns where God moved. Not always in large numbers or in large churches. There were very small churches in very small communities. If you go out to Justin Cooper country, you know, you get to Ryleston. If you keep going, you get to Sofala, Hill End, and what was known as the Turon River Goldfields. Great ride on an adventure bike on the Turon River, just recommending. But back then, not a lot of people there, but some gold miners. The Advocate newspaper in that area wrote in January 1859 about a revival amongst the goldfields. There was a travelling minister in the area, and he said, we were favoured with a gracious outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many people were convicted, concerned, and a number showed clear evidence of conversion. The number of the members in that fellowship doubled overnight. And I've got so many. I just let me read you one. No, I won't. I'll save it. Anyway, look, there's just so many things that went on in smaller areas, in the city. At one point, you know, in the mid-1800s, they had an evangelistic meeting in Hyde Park in Sydney. 10,000 people attended. The population of Sydney at the time was about 60,000. Do the math. That is a big turnout. Why does it all that mean for us today? Well, firstly, it should lift our spirits, lift our hope, lift our expectation for what God can do when we pray. Because we're not going to pray, oh God, do a miracle like we've never seen before, because Australia's just always been a bunch of secular buffheads with no knowledge of God. No, no, we've seen it before. We've had moves of God. We've had some great godly foundations in our society. So we just pray, God, do again what you have done before. It'll be different, but it's not unprecedented. And so that should lift your faith. It's easy to pray for something you've had before, or at least in your nation, in your history, yeah? So we should be stirred to pray and believe for the Holy Ghost to move on our lives, our families, our communities, our nation, yeah? The fields are white for harvest. That's what Jesus said. And so that's why we're fasting and gathering this week and praying for our nation, for souls to be saved, to see revival. Amen? And so may we learn from history, pray with passion, and see our nation touched again. All right, one last thought. We need to consider today our ultimate citizenship. Because the Bible says in Philippians 3:20, we, that's if you're a Jesus freak, follower, same thing, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour. You know, being an Australian citizen is great. When you come back from overseas, you get to the airport, you go to the line that's just locals only, and you know, you feel chuffed. And then there's a bloke there who says, "G'day, mate. and he sees your passport, welcome home, and you think, oh, that's great, that broad, ridiculous accent. And you know, in other countries, it's really helpful to be an Aussie most of the time, because no one with a kangaroo on their passport is considered a threat to national security in any country in the world. I know what I'm talking about. Russian security guards are the toughest in the world. And yet I've seen them see the passport and emit a little smile, a little chuckle, a little look and go, you're okay. On you go. Through you go. You know, I could have smuggled all kinds of stuff in and out, I reckon, if I just, you know, especially with a baby. You put your cute baby there, it melts the hearts. These great big tough Russian guys. And the Finns can be tough too, because, especially to Russians, because we discovered this back in the 90s. You know, we were missionaries in Russia, and we lined up in Helsinki in our little Russian Lada Niva car to get on a ferry that was going to take us to Stockholm, and then we're going to drive to Denmark. This is our summer holiday. And the Finns really don't like the Russians, because since 1939, I think it was, Stalin took about, annexed about 10% of Finland, and they never got it back. And tens of thousands of Finnish soldiers were killed in this little skirmish at the beginning of this war, I should say. They call it the Winter War. War for them was just part of the beginnings of the, you know, Second World War. So we are parked in this long line of cars with our two little kids in the back, and we're all excited about going on holiday. There's a long line, and there's a hold-up. We can see there's something going on. They're not moving forward. I don't know. And then we hear sirens. And we see police cars come racing. I look in the rear vision mirror and I see police cars come racing down the line. I'm like, ooh, something's going on. Somebody's in trouble. Someone's smuggling something, you know. And they stop right next to our car. Because we had Russian number plates. It was a Russian car, registered. It had special international Russian number plates that said you can leave the country. So that was like letting the Russians let you out. But there weren't a lot of Russians travelling around outside at that time. It's not like today. You know, it was still just the end of communism, and most people didn't have the means or the visas or the opportunity or the cars. You know, not that the little Lada Niva that broke down anyway, but, you know, it was brilliant. But so someone had dobbed them in. Someone had seen there's a Russian car in this line of people. Right, they've got to be criminals. Yeah, you know, and they come along. And these big, tough Finnish guys come swaggering over to the car. And I remember they spoke to me in fluent Russian. Passports, пожалуйста, you know. And I start answering in my pidgin Russian because they're speaking to me in Russian. I'm like, they want them the passports. And then I, as I'm giving them the passports, I'm like, hang on. They're Finnish. They speak English. I speak English. Why? Let's not do this in Russian. I'm not Russian, you know. So I go, all right, hang on. And he looks at the passport, and immediately their countenance just changed. They go, oh, hey, kangaroo. Oh, Australia. Oh, okay. Yeah, off you go. Fine. Absolutely. Oh. So 1 minute, Interpol's going to throw us in jail for 20 years. The next minute, kangaroo. Fine. You know, absolutely fine. All that to say, being Australian is wonderful, but it's not the end of the story. It'll get you lots of places, an Aussie passport. As valuable as it is, it won't get you to the one place you really need to go. You're going to need a different passport or visa. We're all called to be citizens of heaven. That's our ultimate home and destination. And that puts things in perspective when life down here is not that great. Because as good as Australia is, it's not perfect. And we all have troubling, challenging times. And that's okay, because this is not your permanent home. So it doesn't matter if you don't ever get the dream home or the dream job or the dream anything, because there is heaven waiting. Yeah? And of course, the devil does his best to put up borders and barriers to prevent entry to the kingdom of heaven. But just one prayer, and that's all you need to gain access, to get your citizenship. There's no test to pass. There's no special visa. There's no long lines outside an embassy hoping to get in and that someone will get stamped. No, just faith in Jesus. Bam, there's his stamp of approval landing on your heart. Amen? And so when you arrive at the pearly gates, it doesn't matter what earthly passport you had. That's got nothing to do with it. You're a citizen of heaven because of your trust in Jesus. And I've been reading a lot. Like I said, I got other stories from all these wonderful Christians in the 1800s. They're all gone now. They're long gone. They've had their life. They had their time. And it doesn't matter now what kind of career they had, how much money or property they owned, their standing or their position or station in society, how fancy a horse and buggy they drove, or it doesn't matter what their earthly citizenship was. All that matters is that they became citizens of heaven. Okay, so that is our great, glorious hope. And that's why we press in and pray for others, for a move of God on their hearts, so that they'll also join us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's be thankful, grateful for our nation, and even when circumstances don't suit us, let us appreciate our history to stir us for the future, and let's appreciate our ultimate citizenship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Well, we thank you. What a great day it is, a day of celebration and a day of consideration of these things, and ultimately our home in heaven, our citizenship, our entrance into your family, and we thank you for that.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Power in the name, Jesus.